Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord, that we get to explore who you are through your word, Lord. Open our ears to hear the newness that you're bringing forth. Father, let no one leave without the nugget that you have just for them, Lord, whatever it may be. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. I'm going to start off by, I kept hearing when I was in Dee's class, I kept hearing this song. And I was thinking, oh, I should sing that song. Well, let me think, do I want to go look for it? And I opened my book up and it was on the top of my book. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm supposed to sing that song. But my workshop is Gaining Wise Counsel. So I'm going to sing this song first. It says, Have Your Way. And the reason why I want to sing this song is because God is motivating his people into a new area like never before. And this new area, we don't get to come. Now, what I mean by that is our ideals, our self-worth, what we think we are, don't get to come. The only way you can go to this next level is you have to lay it down. And you have to be willing for God to spring forth what he sees you are and not what you think you are. I was created for your glory. I was created for your purpose. I was created for your pleasure. Have your way. I was created for your glory. I was created for your purpose. I was created for your pleasure. Have your way. Here I am, arms outstretched, empty cup, fill me up till I'm overflowing. Lord, please have your way. Here I am, arms outstretched, empty cup, fill me up till I'm overflowing. Lord, please have your way. And that's what each one of us has to be saying right now. Lord, you have your way. I think in the past, for some strange reason, we thought that we had the right to choose. And so God let us stumble and fall and trip and everything else as we chose which ways we thought was better for us to go. But I am learning that the decision to choose, when I put it in his hand, it's a much better decision. Do I like it all the time? No. Does it make me cry? Yes. But it is still the right thing for me. And so as I've been doing this workshop, it's like, well, as everybody who's ever did a workshop knows, it gets harder in your flesh, but lighter in your spirit. Because all of a sudden you see yourself like a caterpillar. You're being transformed. It's like God has put you in this cocoon and he's telling you to eat. And you're eating and you're eating and you're eating. And then all of a sudden, right before your own eyes, you're transforming into this amazing monarch butterfly that keeps flying back to the Father. Not to anything else, but back to the Father. And so gaining wise counsel, I want to start with my husband and I, Lewis. My husband of 40 years. But I've been with him since I was about 12. So altogether, we've been together about, I guess, about 50-something years altogether. And I love him more now than I ever have. He's my partner, my friend, my husband, the father of my children, and my covering. And when Lewis and I started on this journey with the Lord, he told us to leave everything. And I remember when we got married, there was a prophecy that I remembered just the other day as Nancy was talking to us that the Lord prophesied over Lewis. And he said, Lewis, I'm calling you as I called Abraham. And I'm going to put you in place where you are away from everybody. But I will bless your seed. And I will number your seed as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. And you will lack for nothing. And I'd forgotten all about that vision, that prophecy that had been said over him until we were in the house talking to Nancy the other day. And it came back to me, that vision that God had said over him. And through the years, everything Lewis and I have, God gave to us. Everything. I mean, us going to Alaska, we didn't have a dime. Ministry called and said, we want you to go to Alaska. We went for the counseling of them to see when we were supposed to leave. They said, next week. So we put our car in the shop. We trusted their counsel. Our car got fixed, called our parents, loaded our car, put our two kids in it, and headed down the road. Lost everything halfway up here. Never had heard of black ice. So we hit black ice and our trailer dumped out. Well, the semis on the road was calling us, the little semi. We had a Plymouth Voyager and a trailer. And so all these trucks started stopping. And we could hear them on the CB saying, the little semi just crashed. The little semi just crashed. And all these truck drivers from I don't know where stopped and started helping us redo our trailer and get it back on the road. And they started putting it back in there. Lewis and I was just like, what in the world? And they it was like God had told us, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to get you to your next destination if you trust me. If you heed the counsel I'm giving to you, I'm going to get you there. So we got to Alaska, and it was quite a journey. And the Lord had reminded me as I was looking over my word again that one of the reasons he said what he said, when we got married, the song that we picked at our wedding, when I think about it now, I'm just like, what was wrong with us? We was really in love with God back then, I guess. I mean, when I think of the words of the song now, I'm like, oh my God, we sang that at our wedding, you know? But it was called Here We Stand, Bound in Golden Chains, tied to the heart of the Father, held by the love that walked up Calvary Hill to become our Lord and our Master. Thank God for Jesus. Thank him for his grace and power. In a day of fire, he's coming forth in man for all the world to see in this hour. Do you think it's evil to serve the Lord or to walk in his precepts? Choose you this day whom you will serve and make the choice with your whole heart. Thank God for Jesus. That's the song we sang at our wedding. And as I looked through the song again, I'm like, wow, I'd forgotten. And the young man who got it, his name was Scott Campbell. He and his wife got up and sang that song at our wedding. Have we been through fire? Oh, yes. The fire of God has been through it. But nothing like the fire we're going through now. The more you walk with God, the more you seek his counsel. For those that much has been given, much is expected. You want more of God? Expect to go through the fire. But you're going to come out on the other side like gold. If you think, and when they say you're going to come out like gold, let's examine gold. The purest of gold, what does it have to go through? Fire. Fire so hot that it melts it down. So it can be what? Reshaped. Reshaped into these bars or whatever you're going to shape it into. So that the value of that gold can be measured. And so when God started to counsel you and tell you that go this way and that way, and know this, it's not going to always come from the way you think it's going to come. It may come from a brother or a sister or a pastor or a husband or a wife or a friend. It depends on how hungry you are, how much you're going to hear. Because when you get really hungry and looking for a word, you start to pray to God as never before. And you start to say, God, whatever form it comes in, as long as it's you, I want it. I want it. You stop judging the vessel. And you start letting your spirit judge the word. And when it's a word you don't understand, you start to learn how to take that counsel and put it on a shelf and say, God, I don't know if this is you. I don't understand it, but I'm not going to throw it away. If you want me to have that word, then you're going to have to work that word into me. I'm not throwing it out. I'm just saying, you explain it to me. And so you bring it all about to pass in me. God wants our attention. That's what this day that we're walking in is all about. And whatever he has to do to get our attention, to give us the counsel to go the next mile, he's going to do it. My niece, Courtney, is living with me right now. And recently, I got really sick. It was like 3 weeks ago, really sick. Out of nowhere, I was feeling fine, and then the next day, I was sick. And I'd been praying and praying, and I'm like, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? And so I had given Courtney this word about work and being diligent and really, you know, seeking God. So she'd been seeking God for a job. Didn't know God was going to use me. Me and him had a really good talk after this. So I go to the doctor. Courtney had to drive me. And that stretched her because she's scared to death to drive. She has her license, but she's scared to death to drive. Well, what better place than put her in a car than Alaska? It was no ice on the ground or snow. But the traffic in Delta Junction is like we have one stop sign, one light, you know, so I thought that was pretty safe. Put her in the car. We went to the doctor. We're sitting in the doctor's office, and I'm sitting there. I can't talk. My voice was just gone. So the doctor comes in and sits down, and he says, he's a family doctor, and he looks at me, and he says, oh, you're not feeling too good, huh? No. And then he looks at Courtney. He goes, who are you? And I'm like, what is he doing? He never does that. He goes, who are you? Because I'm family and I don't know you. And so she said, I'm Courtney. She has this really light voice. I'm Courtney. And he's like, oh, are you a friend or are you a moocher? And I thought, did he just say that? And I'm like, trying to talk with my no voice. She is not a moocher. She is not a moocher. Don't you say that to her. And so he said, he looked at her. She didn't even lose her cool. She just sat there. She says, she's my aunt. And he said, oh, what do you do? He's a Christian guy. He's like, so what do you do? Are you looking for a job? Or are you just sitting there in the house doing nothing? Now, in our eyes, that doesn't look like that's God. You're like, what is this man doing? She doesn't even know him, okay? And so she said, I'm looking for a job, but I haven't found none. Well, what do you do? Well, I'm a massage therapist. Oh, are you good? And she says, I was. I don't think she knew what to say. This man's questioning her. So, and I'm sitting over there going, I'm sick. The reason we're here is because of me. I'm sick. You're not looking at me. It's not about her. It's about me. I'm hurting over here, And he was talking to Courtney. And I'm like, God, what is this? And so he goes to Courtney, he goes, so, do you want to be a massage therapist? And I'm like, really? And she goes, yes, but I let my license overlap, and so I don't know. He said, well, it costs you about $1,200 to get your license back. And she's like, oh, well, yeah, because I checked it out. He said, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get up from that seat, go up front, and get an application. And tell them I sent you there. Fill it out while I'm seeing your aunt. I'm getting to you, Evelyn. He's like, fill it out, and then bring it back, and don't give it to anybody but me. He said, what is the chances that you're here with your aunt, and it's the only day in the week that the guy who hires and fires in my establishment is here? So I'm going to call back there right now, and I'm going to set you up an interview while I'm seeing your aunt. I'm like, if you ever see me. I'm like sitting right here dying. You're not seeing me. And so he's like, so get up and go do that. And Courtney got up like this man is God or something. She didn't even know him. She got up. She said, yes, sir. She got up. She walked out the room, went up front, got an application, started filling it out. And I'm sitting there going, really, God? You did not make me get sick and feel like I'm dying for Courtney to get a job, did you? Seriously? I mean, he said, did you not counsel her? That she needed to, did you not guide her and said, Courtney, you need to find a job? Did you not tell her, get off your butt and start filling that application? Yeah, but I didn't know you was going to make me suffer because of it. I was just trying to help her, push her in the right direction. And so he came over to see me. He's like, oh, you're really sick. And I'm like, really? You think so? So he treated me. And in the meantime, he's calling Courtney. Courtney fills out all of her applications, got them back. We never get anything back in Alaska. Anybody's from Alaska knows this in record time. Never. She sent her applications in. She got them back in a week. She took a test of all these tests she had to take, passed them with flying colors. And before I left, the doctor called her and said, so, where are we at? Oh, you thought I forgot about you? I haven't. And by the way, that $1,200 that you think you don't have, don't worry about that. I'll pay it for you to get your license. I mean, after I pay it, you have a job. Now, do you think wise counsel going to cost you? It's my point in telling that story. You know, because a lot of time in the church, we have these brilliant ideas that we want somebody else to carry out. Just brilliant ideas. You know, if you're a pastor or anything, how many ideas to come to you? People say, you know, I have this idea to do this. And you'll be like agreeing with them. And they said, so you want my papers? They want you to do it. It's their idea. God gave them the strategy. But they don't want you to do it. Well, right now, God is saying, for us pastors that have been laboring in vain, you need to start speaking up and stop enabling your people. And give them wise counsel and said, this is an amazing idea. And I think you're going to be amazing in it. Let me talk to the board or whatever I have to talk to. And we're behind you 100%. And push them out there and growing up because we got way too many babies. Way too many babies in the church. And all of us are getting old. What are we doing to equip our babies if we're not counseling them with wise counsel? We're supposed to be working ourselves out of job. So one day we'll be the one sitting there and they'll be the one performing and we can look at it and say, wow, look what we've done. God, look at so-and-so, how they're developing. The problem is they're not, because we're not letting them. We're cuddling them. And God says, let them grow up. If Elisha and Elijah had did that, he would have never saw the chariot go away. Never saw it go away. But he didn't tell him when he walked to him and said, what do you want? He didn't tell him, well, I want this and this and this, and make sure you do it for me. After he told him what he wanted, he said, okay, you want my anointing? You want to walk where I'm walking? Well, if you see me when I am taken up, then you will get a double portion of my anointing. He didn't enable him and say, okay, you can have that. Just walk with me every day and do what I do. And, you know, and I'll pull you along. And, you know, no, he gave him a charge. And he had to start seeking God to be able to see what he saw when it happened. That's why he wouldn't have seen it. God's given us a divine appointment, and we need to get busy on it. People want their own way with God. They want to do it the way they plan to do it. God's not doing that anymore. Hello. God said, nope. As hard as it may sound, it's my way or the highway. It's not time to drink milk. It's time to eat meat. Because it's a world out there that's looking to all of us. And if we don't have the counsel that we need to equip this world that's out there, we are raising up a bunch of bottle-fed babies. And they are not going to be able to win the war that we're in. We are in a war. And the adversary that we're fighting is playing for keeps. And if we don't equip our people with wise counseling, the outfall is going to be tremendous. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of losing the war. I want some victories, not defeats. And the only way we're going to have that is we are going to have to get into God and let God start putting us in position that we can give wise counsel and get wise counsel, because none of us know it all. None of us. We have 23 churches in Delta, and we only have a population of about 5,000. 23 churches. You think there's hungry? You think somebody's hungry somewhere? I bet you any religion you could think of is probably in Delta Junction. I can't even believe that, but it is. But the awesome thing about that is they're coming together. They're starting to come together because we got one common denominator, God. They're starting to have ministerial meetings where they're saying, once you come in this building for the ministerial meeting, leave your denomination outside and bring only God in here, because we have a whole community that we got to set in order, and we can't do it with your ways and my ways and their ways and everything. We have to come together and find that one common denominator so that our people can prosper. And because they're doing this, people are starting to prosper. Young people are starting to prosper and find their way. Here lately, you notice Ben's not here? And Ben's going through a tremendous place right now. Ben is my son. And we had like some elders in our church set in. And Ben, for some reason, it's like putting myself bare out here, wise counsel. The Lord started counseling me. See, it's hard to be a parent and a pastor. It really is, especially a mom, because you know your kids. You know when they hurt, and you know when they're trying to stand strong and they're just crumbling. But I don't have the time, nor does God say that I have the choice to choose how he brings my children in. And I asked him and I said, why is that you have me fight for everybody in this church, but I can't fight for my son. Can't do it. And he said, who fought for you? I had to think about that. Not one human being. Matter of fact, every time somebody tried to come over top of Lewis and I and said, oh, I'm so glad you're in our church. Now I have some more people I can govern. They come back to us and say, God, I had a dream last night. And God says, keep your hands off their mind. He said, you had to come to me. And that's how Ben's got to come, through me. Ben is in a perfectly good place, but a hard place. And we've all had to go through it. But somehow we think our kids aren't. We think our kids aren't strong enough to go through the hard places like we did. We want to cuddle them. Well, see, we have a whole church full of kids, and it's the same procedure. We want to cuddle it instead of let it grow up. So Ben came and talked to Lewis and I. He said, I need to counsel with y'all. We said, okay. And so he came over. I knew what he was going to say. I had a whole week to wait for him to come over to my house. In that time, I wept, you guys. I've never, think about it now, it makes me want to cry. I've never felt that broken and lost because I didn't know what to do. I couldn't help my son. And the only person I could go to was him. He wasn't talking. He said, I already answered that question. All you can do now is do what I told you is what I put before you. He said, you pastor my people. You do my work. And I'll take care of Ben. That's so hard when you're a mom. It's hard. So Ben came to us and talked to us and said, I'm leaving the church. I'm not leaving God, but I'm stepping back. I don't know another church in town that I feel comfortable in. But right now, I'm hurt. And I gotta step back. Because I don't wanna lose the God that I have. If I don't step back, I'm gonna lose. So I sit on the couch, you know, putting on my big front. I didn't want to see him. He wanted to see me cry. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking to him. And he said, Mom, it's okay. It's okay. But I can't see you cry again. Because you cry for me. And you feel me and I feel you. We're too much alike for me not to. And I said, Ben, it's okay. He's like, yep. He said, Mom, you got to believe that you and Dad put all the good stuff in me. And I can walk through this too and come out on the other side. And that's a lot easier said to a mom. And his dad, he was sitting there like my brother sitting with his arms folded. And he's looking at Ben. And he said, son, whatever decision you make, we're behind you. We honor that decision. And when Ben left out the door, he wept. He said, I feel like I lost my right hand. That made it worse. Because he wept. I was doing good until he started crying. And he said, but this is what I know. God is yet in control. And I said, here's this word, gaining wise counsel. And now God is having me eat the words I've been talking in all these conferences. And he said, are you listening to the counsel? We was going to a conference. I had to go to a conference in Ketchikan right after that. I get down there and it kept coming in waves. You know how it does. You're doing good and all of a sudden you're thinking about it. Oh, okay, I can't help it. That's what women do. And so I'm at the conference and somebody will start talking and, I'm not leading worship and Ben's not on the drums and it just comes in waves. And every time it comes in waves, the Lord said, go to Les' workshop. Les is one of the guys that lives in Ketchikan. He has a word for you. You want my counsel? Go to Les' workshop. I say, okay. I don't know what he can tell me to make me feel better, but I'm going. So I go to this workshop. And when I get to this workshop, Les is ministering. And in the midst of his word, he says this. It's a nugget. I hope you can grab it. He says, do you know what peace is? And of course, y'all know what peace is, right? You know when the Bible says peace, that path is understanding? Have you ever thought about it, why he said it that way? He said, peace is not, doesn't take you out of the battle. Peace gives you the strength to walk through the battle. Peace doesn't say you're not going to hurt. Peace just tells you that hurt is okay as long as you stay in the fight. He said peace equips you more than anything else you can walk through. Because the peace that passes understanding is that it goes past your natural ability to cope with the problem. And you grab hold to this peace. And I've never thought of peace that way. I mean, when I used to think of peace, I just thought peace. You know, you're going to get calm and relaxed and God's going to soothe over everything you're going through. No, I've never thought of peace in that way. And he kept talking, and every time he would say something, he'd look at me. He's having this workshop and he'd stare right at me, you know. And after the workshop was over, he walks over to me. He's like, Evelyn, where's Ben? And I was like, no, don't make me talk about Ben. Don't make me talk about Ben. And I said, well, he's just going through something right now. And he says, Evelyn, God told me to tell you, this is not your fight. And I was like, what? He's like, God told me to tell you, this is not your fight. There is no fight going on here. He said, there's a change. I'm maturing Ben because of the call that's on his life. He said, the call on Ben's life, Evelyn, is apostolic. Ben has a great call on his life. And if he thinks he doesn't have to go through something to get that calling, he's wrong. Because that calling causes. And a lot of times he's going to think, forget it. I just want to throw my hands up. I'm done. He said, but God says, I'll take him before I lose him. And I'm not going to lose him because he's mine. He's mine. Got any children out there that you're worried about are going to make it? Put them in God's hand. Is it going to hurt? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It hurts letting go. But God said it was time for us to cut the apron strings. You did all you can do. It's my turn. It's my turn. He hasn't quit Point to Hope. He's still part of Point to Hope. But right now, God says, I got him just where I want him. Just where I want him. And he said, and he will be victorious. And so I listened to that. I said, okay. Wes, I received that. He said, do you? He said, because I can't leave from in front of you till I know that I know that I know you're hearing me, Evelyn. He says, and I've never talked to you like this, right? And I'm like, nope. He's a real quiet guy. I don't know if you ever know him, but anybody that knows him, he's a real quiet guy. And I said, okay, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you, Wes. He said, okay. Me and my wife want to pray for you. Because you know what? He said, when I heard that word, I thought, it's Ben. He's our heart. He's our baby. He's grew up around all of us. He said, and God says, it's not your fight. This is between me and Ben. And Ben's going to come out on the other side. Gaining wise counsel, what do you think Abraham had to do when he had to let go Lot? We don't think Lot had traveled with him this whole time. And he said, choose what you want. All the time in his mind, hoping that Lot would choose the good thing. That's what we think about when we think of our kids, that they're going to choose the good things. We don't have control. Only God does. When you say, I put everything you put in my hands, you have not lost. That's what he told me. Everything you put in my hands, Evelyn, you have not lost. And it's the truth. Everything I put in his hands, I have not lost. Lewis just, his truck, he's like, you need to pray because my truck's not running right. Guy came up to him, not a Christian. Said, Lewis, I think you need to put your truck in the thing before whatever that problem is gets worse. He puts his truck in the shop. He had to redo his engine. Cost $26,000 to get his engine refixed. So he put his truck in the shop. They fixed his engine. 3 days later, one of the guys we hauled for called Lewis into a meeting. He said, Lewis, how much did it cost for you to get your truck fixed? Lewis told him, he's like, but they're going to let me pay in payments. He says, no, that ain't going to do it. Because the interest they would charge you, by the time they're done, you'd be like $40,000 out or more. He says, so here you go. Here's a check. Go pay for your engine. I'm not charging you interest. You pay me whenever you can. You pay me. Don't tell me you're going to pay me every other trip. You got to live. Don't pay me every other trip. You pay me when you can. Because you have been faithful to us. This is our way of paying you back. He said, get your truck fixed, Lewis. Put it in the shop. Lewis, he came home and he's like, what's the chances of that happening? And I said, he said, but if the guy hadn't have told him to put his truck in the shop, he would have been out on the road, and you don't want to be out on the road in Alaska and break down. There is nothing around. You're stuck. If he hadn't have told him to put it in there, he would have never found out. And he got it in there just in time for other stuff got messed up. And here God had the provision already laid out. But because he listened to the counsel of not a Christian, but it was wise counsel. He listened to it. See, everything in our lives, God has an answer. Everything. Because he told us he does. He said, I'm going to turn the riches in this world over into the hands of the righteous. We heard that. We sort of believe it. But not until it started happening to us. And this is what he's doing. And all you have to do is start believing. Have faith in him. Doing what he told you to do. Psalms 119, if you haven't read it, start reading it. It is profound. It is a profound scripture to read. That's what this is out of, Psalms 19. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe, that believes means trust, your commandments, God. You teach me. Train me in good common sense. I am thoroughly committed to live in your ways. God, you do that for me. Because I am desiring to walk in your will, to be taught. If you don't let God teach you, how can you teach somebody else? If you don't know it, how are you going to teach it? If you don't know how to walk in wise counsel, How are you going to turn around and be able to tell somebody something? We must first empty out and let God refill us. Everything we had yesterday is for yesterday. God says, my mercies are new when? Every morning. God is desiring to put new manna in all of us. And we're so scared to let go of what we got. We're like this. He can't give us nothing new. He says, I got new counsel for you. But you got to let go of your hands so I can refill them. He said, did I not put everything you have in you now? Am I not capable of filling you with something new? But you got to let go of the old in order to partake of the new. You got to hear that counsel of the new in order to go to the next level. I want you, and the next level is amazing. I don't know what happened to us in Israel, but I'm telling you, we came back different. I never would have thought walking those steps that you would still be able to feel such a profound anointing. And Jesus wasn't there physically. At least that's what we thought. But see, what we wasn't thinking about is when we walked them steps, Jesus was walking with us, inside of us. And he said, you want to feel what I felt when I got here? Here it is. Whoosh. You want to feel what I felt on the mountain of transfiguration? Whoosh. Do you want to feel what I felt when they laid me in the tomb? Whoosh. We felt it all. I'm telling you. And the counsel came from people you weren't expecting. I had just had my surgery. And so we got to that one place that was pushing really hard. And they was just pushing, and we went down to see something. I can't remember what it was we were going to see, but it was horrible pushing. And so we went and ate. I don't even want to tell you what I ate because I was scared to ask. It's supposed to have been a hamburger, but it didn't look like one. It didn't taste like one either. But anyway, so we ate that, you know, and I came out the restaurant, and my pride, I can do it. I got my cane. I'm going to stay with everybody. And so Lewis knew how big head I was. He went and talked to Nancy. He said, if you talk to her, she'll listen. If I talk to her, she's going to say, I got the faith to do this. He's probably right. I would have said that. But anyway, so Nancy came up to me and she says, you know, you and Tom, she said, we're going to make a provision for you to go back to the motel, and we're going to go see this last thing. And so everything in me was going, I came here to see everything, and now I'm going to have to go back to the motel, blah, 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 inside my head. Of course, I didn't say that to her. I just said it inside my head. All of a sudden, somebody tapped me on the shoulder. And they said, Evelyn, God told me to tell you this. Everything he wants you to experience, you're not going to miss. You're not going to miss one thing he wants you to experience. So stop whining. He's got you. And it came from the most unlikely person to tell me that. It came from Debbie Grimes. Now, you know Debbie. Debbie is not a pushy person or... you can't even think of her saying something like that to you. It was in such a humbleness, but an authority, that everything in me came to attention because of the voice it was coming through. And I knew that I knew that I knew it was God. I knew it was God because of the vessel it was coming through. Not that if it had came through Uda, if it was Uda, I probably would have fainted. But anyway... I mean, we're the quiet ones, believe it or not, the quiet ones in the bunch, huh? So she told me that, and it's just like everything in my fiber went and settled. God went down the street with me and Lewis, the guy in the cab, and they came back and they said, you better be glad you didn't go. They said, we was pushed to every side, almost knocked down in the street. You better be glad you did not come with us. And me and Tom went home in a cab, and Lewis, and I don't think his wife went with us, but I think us three went. I can't remember. But we went home. But it was through her telling me that and me humbling myself and listening. See, to receive wise counsel, you have got to let your pride go. You got to. Because you always think you know what's better for you. And not all the time do you do. And sometimes it takes somebody outside of you to speak the word to you that you need to go to the next step. Good means to be pleasant, be delightful, be glad, be joyful, be better, be well with. Judgment is to taste and to decree with intelligence. When he said in that scripture, teach me good judgment. Are you tasting? Are you learning? Are we coming to that place where God says, okay, this is the way you should go. This is the way you should go. That's the way you should go. It's hard where we are now. Wouldn't you agree? It's different. Like I said, something happened to me. And I used to let things really off-center me. I don't know what happened to me. All I know is that when I hear something that's petty, my spirit says to me, you don't have time for that. And I don't get angry, and I don't with that person or want to knock them down or anything like that. I just look at them and I go, okay, that's the way you feel, that's fine. But for me and my God, he didn't tell me that yet. So this is what I'm going to do. And I'm talking about wise counsel. I'm talking about somebody just trying to manipulate you. That's not in me anymore to hear that. I am after God. And if you're not going to come in God, it's almost like I got this shield just goes, shoot. And you come any other way but in God, it does not let you penetrate me. He says, no more am I going to let anybody get to your heart. As long as you stay faithful to me. That's the place God wants to bring every last one of us to. Because that's the part of us that's vulnerable. That's the part of us that's vulnerable. It's our heart. Our kids, I have three sons, three daughter-in-laws that fight for my attention. I know why I didn't have girls. Those three girls fight for my attention. And one gets mad if the other one has too much of my attention. But Dan's wife, my oldest son, I don't know why she has my ear, except I think she needs me the most. She's the one that doesn't have her mother. You know, her mother is not in her life. She's had a horrible life. But her and I click. We just click. Well, my first daughter-in-law says, I'm number one, and she's trying to move in. That's Angela. Bona says, I've been married the longest, so you get second. And I'm like, do girls do this? I mean, you know, I've only had boys, okay? And I am just like, oh my God, you guys, you need to quit. I love you all different. I love you all the same. If you asked me to go, I would do the same for you I would do for them. But they can't see that. But now, it's like, I have this thing, and it's like, Mom, why won't you even talk to me like that? I said, it's time for y'all to grow up. I don't have time for y'all nonsense. I just don't have time for it. Y'all need to talk to each other and get it together. Because I'm going on. Mom, you're leaving again? Yep. Dad, can't you talk to her? And he says, let me sit y'all down. Dan, Ben, and Joe, is these your wives? Yes. This is your girlfriends? Yes. Well, this is my woman. See, she was your mom when you were little. Now she's my woman again. And me and my woman are going on with our lives. So don't bring your kids over here and think you're going to stop her life. It ain't happening. I'm not saying she can't babysit for you sometime, but when God says go, she's listening to that counsel and she's out of here. She didn't know I'm going to tell you this, so I'm telling you this. Because this is what you need to do with your woman, what I'm doing with mine. I protect this woman. And you guys, I threw your plates out the door. What did I tell you about that? Dad, you can't do that. He told him once he threw 8 plates out the door, they don't eat there no more. He said, so what did I tell y'all about that? He said, don't let me have to throw the spoon and fork out there too. And I'm sitting up there going, and he was like, no grandkids, not this week. You call first and said, Mom, are you available? If she's not available, she's not changing her schedule for your convenience. Because your mom never had babysitters for you. She was there. That's the example you need to remember. And so now, instead of them coming over saying, Mom, you're leaving Dad again. You know he can't cook because he'll burn the house down. You know he can't do this. You know he can't do that. They come over and says, Mom, do you need any extra money for the trip? Mom, when you coming back? The daughter-in-law's come. Mom, how long are you going to be gone? Dad, do you like greens and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah? And they're just like filling the gaps in. Because of their dad spoke the law, and they know when he gets up and say he's real quiet, but when he speaks, everything stops in the house.